the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Sounds like you have such a love. I love it.
I'm recording.
What did you call him?
Mr. Magnificent, girl.
My hubby would like me to probably call him that.
Girl, it works. Like cash money, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to put the person that you love on a pedestal. Feed their ego. Let them be mm-hmm. who they are. If they need a little bit more attention here or a little bit more confidence here, give it to them if you love them, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. we've been doing that back and forth for 36 years, girl. And he's awesome sauce. Yes, ma'am.
I'm so happy to hear that. I love that. We've been, my hubby and I are... in 1993, we met. We've been married 21 years this year. No, 22 this year. And then together, almost 27.
Well, it's work, no matter what it is. Helen Patterson, we're going to talk about work today here on The Edge with April Mahoney, my guest, and from Canada. We're going to be talking about what is going on in the world of HR and relationship capital. Folks are going back to work. They're going to be looking at each other with the side eye, the person that they've known. How are we going to integrate that? How are we going to have a new conversation? I'm so excited to have her here and get a fresh perspective. Brains, help me welcome my guest, Helen Patterson.
Hi, thank you so much, April. This is going to be so much fun. I've been following you for a while. We met back in April and before the world went even crazier. Yeah. But I'm so glad we're going to have this opportunity, and I'm really thankful for being here.
Well, I'm glad to have you because I'm just loving to have this conversation because we need to change the trajectory. We can't continue to be angry. We need to work smarter, not harder. All right, so now we've gotten all that out. We've had our temper tantrum. So now what are we going to do, and what is that going to look like in the workforce? Because people are going to be coming in, and if we don't get a handle on it now, baby, HR is going to be a nightmare.
Oh, no kidding. We already have a hard enough time.
Yeah.
You know, with feeling like we have to be the pulse and the heart of the organization. And we take in a lot of, you know, we have to deal with a lot of difficult conversations and, you know, putting out fires and cleaning up messes and dealing with a lot of conflict to begin with. And so, you know, I really feel for my colleagues right now in human resources. In human relations, I call it. I like that, you know. But we're going to have a long talk, and we could be talking for days about it. But
well,
it's a tough profession to be in.
Let's dial back. Mm-hmm. How did it find you? How did human resources find you?
Yeah, what a great question. Thanks. Because it's interesting. My entire career and my life, I didn't grow up thinking, oh, I have this passion. I need to do this. You know, I think that people that have that are so blessed. I've sort of always fallen into things. And yet I think a lot of it comes from me wanting to help people and make a difference. And so I put myself through law school, actually. I was the only one of five kids that actually went to university and worked full time doing it. You know, I grew up in not the best situation. And so I was really interested in getting educated and giving back. And so I started with an employment law career and legal career and felt that that was so adversarial. It's not what I expected it to be. And interesting, I had remembered having an interview once. And I said, that question that nobody likes, where do you want to be 5 years from now?
You know what I say?
How the heck do I know?
You know what I was saying in the interview? I say still employed.
I know. Hopefully still on the earth, right?
Right.
So I never really thought it, but I just blurted out and said, I think I would love to be in human resources. Meanwhile, I was being hired to be the employment lawyer, general counsel, managing litigation and class action suits and commercial disputes. And so I said that, and the counsel, the general counsel I reported to at the time, it was for a big retail organization here in Canada, said, ha ha, he laughed and he said, not here. And I said, okay, we'll get that out of the way. But I worked for CIBC and I worked as an employment lawyer with all of the human resources team at a large financial institution up here, over 40,000 employees at the time. And because they were my main client, mm-hmm. and I just love the work they're doing and I love the people. And when I was trying to figure out what to do next, it was a natural transition into right. human resources. And my first role in HR was heading up a team that did, you know, again, dealing with the tough side, dealing with harassment investigations, human rights complaints, you know, escalated employee relations issues. So we didn't get to do a lot of fun stuff. We had to deal with a lot of cleanup and, you know, really tough situations. So that's always been with me, is how do I help resolve these issues and challenges. And I think that's where the HR with heart and the
okay, so now let's color in some of the white spaces. Okay, because you've got fact versus fiction. People go in, they're going to be, you know, hypersensitive. They're mm-hmm. you know, the environment is different now. Number one, more people are working from home. Number two, more of the company's proprietary information is now off-site. We're talking about employee benefits. We're talking about employee rights. So it's more than just how we get along. It's how we really kind of redesign this whole thing. And then the conversation is going to be different. When you come into these organizations and into these boardrooms, you need to be inclusive from the giddy up. None of this waiting, all that. You need to bring people to the table so that they have a voice and that they can help these organizations and these companies grow, because there's some big changes. I mean, folks is resigning and giving up their seats on the board and giving all this money. You know, they are really ready. They're on fire. You know, it's a engine. Everybody's churning up. So where do you see it there in Canada? Are you guys, you know, are you on the same locomotive?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the world has been, this pandemic, first of all, start with that, has just turned it. Basically, the future of work is here now. Mm-hmm. So in this space, everybody's been talking about the future of work and that remote work's going to be here and technology as an enabler and all those things. And basically, we had to turn that on right away, and no one was prepared. In addition to businesses losing tons of revenue. And so there's been very tough decisions at the leadership levels. Mm-hmm. I know of some people, here's the thing, leaders, are they walking the talk? And I agree with you, inclusivity is not, it is more than, there's a lot of things there, right? We know diversity, inclusion, belonging, but also inclusion and having an invitation to bring everybody to the table to provide some insight. Because what's happened is a lot of the times the employee voice gets lost because leaders are making decisions without any input. Wait, have you thought to ask your people how they're doing and what they would like to see going forward? Many people, we're dealing with return to work now slowly, as it hasn't quite opened up in Ontario where I am and across the country.
Hey, but Kira, I love y'all.
Oh, hi, sorry. Yeah. And so I think that we need to, there's fear. People want to be safe, safe from the virus, safe mm-hmm. from other humans who are, you know, not very kind. Safety and psychological safety and physical safety, you know, so when I work and talk about healthy workplaces, that's what I mean. I think we have to be having this, and then, you know, the situation and the untimely, I'm so sorry about George Floyd and everyone impacted and all those before, that this has escalated and created more openness, which needs to happen in the movement. We need dialogue and we need open conversations. And, you know, this work, people are have a lot of fear. They have a lot of fear. You know, and how do we help them?
Sorry. Let me interject. And I say this to all my white friends. I love y'all. I really do. But don't overthink it, okay? Mm-hmm. As I ask people to do, is just, you know, white, black, green, take a mirror and look at yourself. Yourself. Okay, where's my pointer at? You know, I like my
pointer. I don't have mine in front of me, my selfie, but absolutely, we all need to do that as individuals,
we need to do that and say, how do we...
I haven't seen that pointer.
this is my thing right here, when I'm serious about something. Mm-hmm. But just have the conversation with self, nobody else. How have I contributed? What have I done? What have I learned? Where have I misstepped? If this were to happen to me, ask yourself these questions. And then once you sit with it and resonate, then you'll have a different perspective. But going out and changing the world and, you know, have this keyboard courage, girl, they say some crazy stuff on the internet.
Oh.
They just, you know, cowards. You wouldn't say that to somebody's face.
It
just
it hurts, it does really hurt.
I offend them. I told you the edge is not the spot for that. You can have your opinion. We can agree to disagree. We can have an email chain this long. But when you just come out of pocket, off you go.
And, you know, it's really disappointing and hurtful, and some of the hatred. Like, it's interesting. Some of the work I do, you know, my tagline is HR with heart. And I had a lot of people say, don't do that because you're not going to get the business leaders looking at you. And and I'm like, it's okay. I feel strongly that I've worked for a long time. I have, you know, created in my workplace, in my sphere of influence, the ability to talk about love. Because if you think about history, and, you know, it's so much of it is because the terrible things and the atrocities and the oppression came from hatred, right? And so to talk about love isn't easy for people in the workplace to begin with, but we have to do our part.
I don't think it came from there. I think it came from necessity, you know?
Yeah, I listened to your show on acculturation, assimilation, and assassination. That was very moving. Just so you know, I'm doing some work because I thought I was a human rights advocate and I've always been supportive, but we all have work to do. We can all learn more, and we can't comment till we're educated about an issue.
Right? You know, and you'll never, no matter how many books you study, how many friends you have, you will never live our existence. That's not the plan. All we're asking for is not to be messed with, not to be killed.
Yeah.
So, but it's all right. It's going to be good. It's a brighter day. Every day brings new opportunities, and that's what you bring in HR too. So what do you do on the fun side as far as like getting, I remember I used to work in HR at a few companies, and it was really cool. We would get together and have these team builders, and we have these creative ideas, and we have the employee of the month and yada yada. How are you, you know, go get your people fired up and motivated to work and excited?
Well, and that's what I'm trying to do, but it's not easy. It's like, come on, the proactive versus the reactive, because it's all about creating engagement and excitement. It's like, I want to get up and go and get to work and be on fire and live this dream. And so what I try to do, I mean, it's been tough because a lot of times, as I said, it's cleanup mode, and I'm really, really pushing towards what I say is creating a heart-centered culture, which means you can show up and be a high performer and do great work. Because here's the thing, you have to work for a company that has a clear mission though, and vision and values or purpose and passion, and be aligned with that and do your inner work too, to say, what do I want to do? Because I won't be aligned to the organization.
Right.
So recently I did a little session. I do these mentor circles, and there's a young woman who's one of my mentees from a company called Futurepreneur up here. Mm-hmm. And she's amazing, and she's an artist, and she does creativity in the workplace. So I've been wanting to try, and unfortunately, as soon as COVID-19 hit, all her in-person workshops got canceled. So she's been trying to do virtual. And that is, you know, there's so much about bringing the whole self to work. So creativity.
Now, you don't want anybody to bring the whole self to work. You leave some of that stuff at home.
Yeah, I don't know. We can chat about that, because I think that what I mean by that is, if you're having a bad day, it's okay. If the kids kept you up all night, like, you need to understand that. Don't try to hide it. You know, bring, so
a lot, you anyway, know, go. It's a lot more than that, because people have lost their jobs, one income. You know, here in the United States, they got all this trickery with the medical. You don't know if you have it, if you don't, if you can be tested, if you can't be tested. So you've got to think about that. the productivity from a corporate perspective, because see, I'm a CEO of my business. And, you know, how is that leveling out? We're always trying to work from the base and work with the employee. It needs to be from the top up. You need to have some conversations with them one-on-one and give them some direction and insight and input. Now, whether they use it or not will be to their benefit or to their loss. But it's also very important that you already start at the top, okay? Because these are where the decisions are made and filtered down to the employees. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, having that conversation is very important. What do you do for fun, Helen, there?
Oh, you keep saying fun. I haven't. Hey, one of my friends who's also a coach recently said, Helen, because I said, I'm not having as much fun anymore as I used to. Like, what the heck's going on? But she said, you know, Helen, if fun isn't one of your top values, you got to get that back in. You know, here's the thing. I like to spend time with my family. I love to go out. I love riding my bike. That brings me.
I like my bike. I love my bike.
Oh, just because you're out in nature too at the same time.
I love my bike.
And spending time with our little puppy that we're hoping isn't going to bark right now. She's newer. She's 2 years with our family.
What's her name?
Her name is Joey.
Joey.
I have no idea. We were talking one day and that came up, even though she's a girl. Joey, Jojo. She's been amazing. Dogs are really healing. I feel like, you know, there's some beautiful, and she's my little, like, she's imprinted on me. She's my little shadow, right? Which is why she's under the desk right now.
And they have so much wisdom and, you know, it's like a tree. One of my other guests got me into tree hugging.
Oh, really?
Yeah, girl, it's a trip. I didn't think I'd like it at first.
Actually hugging the tree?
Okay, with all your might and just lean into it. You'll feel an exchange of energy like you've never felt, the frequency. You just have to let yourself go. And I'm sure you have beautiful trees there in Canada.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Actually, I'm going on a meditation hike. Finally, things are opening up. The parks were closed and everything.
Right.
And there's a woman I know who leads meditations, but in the wilderness, you do a bit of a cleanse and then you go walk in the nature and quiet, which is quite nice. And I love to read, and maybe that's too much in my head. Remember we had that chat about, I'm trying to get out of my brain and feel and get into the body and heart. But I love reading because I get lost.
But you're able to transport yourself anywhere. You know, reading is so powerful. I haven't been doing as much as I should. You know, I need to get off this device. So I've been giving myself hours. Give us some instructions on how we should have a work-life balance. Kind of, you know, when you're working from home, how many hours should you really kind of dedicate into your job, into your profession? Leave, take a break, come back. Tell us how to have some normalcy in the workplace.
Yeah, that's great. Great, particularly because we might be keeping up with this for some time, and some of us. So one of the things, and I had an actual productivity expert on recently too, and her and I met years ago, and we were both really passionate about what we're calling now is work-life integration, because balance is kind of subjective in a way, like it's what you have to do, but you know, you have to set boundaries. And as I said with today, even coming on to here, like I should have a sign on outside the office, do not enter. But the best thing is to, I believe, is scheduling. So really, as if you have those appointments, whether it's even just working on a project, a lot of times they say keep those hours because it's really easy at home to have work all day, right? No, you need to set yourself a schedule. And in the morning is usually get rid of those top three things that you need to focus on. So you set your priorities. So hopefully you have your strategic objectives for the quarter or for the month. And I just keep breaking them down into weeks and then looking at your schedule on Sunday night and say, what do I have going on? And you also need to create some white space in there, right? So, or space that's, what I mean by that is just free time on your calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that you do also have a little bit of thinking time. And I also recommend scheduling in when you're going to work out. Yeah, exactly. Meditate. If you do that, how do you have consistent habits and routines to start your day? Because I find what happened is where I get lost in lack of productivity is if I haven't planned, then all of a sudden, like you said, you end up on social and you could be scrolling forever. Because right now there's a lot of interesting things. Like yesterday was, you know, take the mic.
It's a lot of noise.
It's a lot of noise too, and it impacts you, and you need to get away from that. In this whole world, I'm a little bit worried about the future generations because they're growing up in this world with 24/7 tech and TikTok and Snapchat.
I love the tickety-tock.
I haven't tried it out yet, but I know my I love Brene Brown, and she follows TikTok all the time, and it's like I don't need anymore because I get sucked in so much.
Yeah,
but I think,
don't do it. But you know, again, it's parenting, it's education, it's training, it's conversation, and that's all the things that you provide in the work that you do, and you do an excellent job. You sound like you're very caring, you're very open, you want to learn. People, just don't be overly sensitive. Just go back into the workplace and just kind of relax. Get your coin right. Get the business back running like a machine. Take care of your health. Take care of your heart. Take care of your coworker. Trying to love a friend, you know? Trying to meet somebody new, have a new experience. Maybe open up some promotions. Come up with some creative ideas. Be heard by upper management. Buy into it, upper management, because your company, your biggest investment is your employees. Thank you so much, Helen.
Oh, thanks. Are we already done? Shucks.
Shucks. We can come on back anytime. Keep me abreast of what's going on. And you know what? Wait, before we go, you're an author.
Oh, yes.
You can't forget. Let's talk about that book. Where's the book?
Okay, so I am the current lead editor and author for two publications put out by Thomson Reuters. One of them is Employment Policies That Work and Best Practice Terminations, which sounds terrible, but I didn't come up with that title. I inherited that. Anyway, those are two, but I have an upcoming book I'm working on called Create a Mentor Culture. Mm-hmm. And mentoring is really my biggest passion. And that's all about everybody deserves an opportunity to have a mentor, to be lifted up, so right. that they can in turn give back to others. And so really the work I do goes towards that, is creating a mentor culture where everybody can learn and grow and then give back to their community. And part of that will be a scholarship fund that I'm going to set up for legacy work for those with lower income that can't afford potentially university. So the proceeds from the book and some of my work will go toward that. So that's coming.
You got a giving heart. That's good. And you know what else, girl? You got on some bad jewelry there. It's very symbolic. What is the saying there? That's a beautiful statement piece.
This one here?
Yes.
Well, there's two, right? And one is believe and one is hope. And these two were given to me, and they belong to a friend of mine who passed of breast cancer 10 years ago. And so these are hers, and I wear them every day. She's a beautiful soul. We miss her so much. She was really a giver. So she's with me all the time. And then these are my kids' names over here, Caitlin and Cullen. And I put two bracelets together. That's my creativity. But
you are doing the most, okay? Because you are an innovator. And I love that. I love that. That's beautiful. So please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. They want to do more work, have a different conversation, get their company prepared for re-entry. You know, I'm sure you're doing it all.
Well, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. I'm working on the return to work protocols now because we do have questions about that. So my company that I founded is called Life Works Well. And that was originally to bring in, you know, to me, work is part of life and wellness, you know, heart, body, soul, mental, physical health is part of that. So that's how I came up with that name. LifeWorksWell.ca. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram, lifeworkswell.ca. And HMPatterson19 is my personal profiles on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And you can get in touch with me as Helen Patterson on LinkedIn.
She is all over the planet.
I'm all over the place. It's like I drive social, but I try to limit it.
Well, you know what? And this is something that I do. I just pick four. You know, my audience is not everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, I find, is that you kind of dilute what you're getting a splackling here, splackling there. You can't really talk and understand your audience on these different platforms, because how you talk to people on LinkedIn is not how you talk to them on Instagram. They're looking for something different. Twitter is different versus mm-hmm. the relationship you have with Facebook. So as you have this and you're gathering these tribes, edit and filter. Get what you can manage. Girl, they'll come up with all kinds of stuff. Now, I play with TikTok with my daughter, but I let her manage that. There's four platforms that I find that really work. And the entrepreneur, I think that they can gain great insight from, you know, any online programs that you have, because it is still a business, okay? And you still have to have a human resource kind of mind. So from every angle, every perspective, I want them to touch you, Helen Patterson, like I just did, at the heart.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on and getting to know you. And I love following, especially your posts on music, because a lot of good choices there. So hopefully one day we'll meet in person. And
work in Canada. I told you, everywhere.
I know.
I love some Canadians and some Tim Hortons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Timmy's. We love Timmy's.
It's bad cholesterol, but so is life. Fat and greasy. Thank you so much for being on The Edge. I love you, and I will talk to you again really, really soon. Okay?
Thank you so much, April. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.